Herb the Consumer Man Weisbaum's with us from checkbook.org, and we're going to talk about this FTC thing to create new rules that prevent companies from limiting consumers' ability to fix their own stuff. And that is some clip from Tool Time or whatever that show.
Home Improvement,
where they got put a band together and they're all playing things like anvils and wrenches and stuff like that. Because I didn't know what else to get. I didn't know because I didn't know how to fix it. Hey, Herb, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, John.
So tell me about this executive order that is it already in place or is it going to be in place?
No. Well, the issue is called right to repair.
Right.
And it's something that's been talked about in this country for more than 10 years. And President Biden signed an executive order that asked the Federal Trade Commission, a sort of directive to the Federal Trade Commission, to look at how that they can possibly change the marketplace, because the FTC came out with a report in May that indicated right to repair laws are anti-competitive because they prevent people from fixing things either on their own or going to an independent shop that they're forced to use the repair stuff that the manufacturer wants to provide for them. So basically, nothing has happened at this point in time except a big nudge for the right to repair movement from the president telling the FTC that I want you to deal with this. And they're supposed to vote at next week's meeting to decide if they're going to move forward with doing something about this. It takes a while. If they were to do something, it takes a while for the commission to do things. They have to have hearings and propose rules and all that sort of thing. But this has been floating around, like I said, for more than 10 years now. And it's the first big push for those who believe in it in the right direction to help give consumers more rights to repair their products. A couple of things are the number one is they believe it would, if this took effect, it would bring the cost down, which would be good for consumers. So it would drive up competition. Number two, it would be really good for independent repair shops. It would help them get more business. Mm-hmm. It would also make it easier to fix things instead of having this disposable society of ours where you break something electronic and you don't even think in most cases about repairing it because it costs so damn much. You'd rather just throw it away and buy a new one, which is not good for your pocketbook and certainly not good for the environment, because with these electronic products, almost all the bad stuff for the environment, all the greenhouse stuff that's created is when you make the thing, not when you're using the thing. So so it's got a lot of different aspects to it. It's the right, the consumers have the right to fix their things. It's the ability to increase competition. It's the ability to reduce natural resource use and hold down prices for consumers once they buy something.
You know, I was talking to Tom about this earlier, and I was thinking what strikes me is we're not talking about, the advancement in technology and then the products that come from that advancement, such as computers, cell phones, flat screen televisions, all of that. Back a few years ago, it wasn't that long ago, if I had a laptop, I'm an Apple kind of guy, so if I had one of their laptops and the battery ran down, I could turn it over, turn a couple of screws, take the battery out, buy a new battery. It wasn't cheap or anything, but I didn't pay anybody to do anything. I got the battery. Either I went to the store and got it, or it was shipped to me to my home. I slapped it right back in, turned the two little screws, and away you go. Now, I have no idea where that battery is in my laptop. You know what I'm saying?
That's part of the problem, and that's what critics say, that not only is it difficult to repair things because they won't give you the manuals and the instructions and that sort of thing, but the products aren't designed from the start to make it impossible for anybody but an authorized repair person. Sometimes they glue parts in, they make it so if you try to open it, you'll damage the device.
Uh-huh.
So that's a whole other aspect, is it basically controlling the marketplace by making it impossible when you build a thing that the consumer can't repair. You know, there's certain things like, do you remember, if you're an Apple guy, that a couple of years ago Apple got into big trouble because they set up the software to change the battery settings because to keep the usage down, and people want to replace the batteries, and they couldn't do it because they cost too much or whatever it was the issue at the time. So it is something that bothers a lot of people. By the way, the United Kingdom, just a couple of weeks ago, July 1st, They decided that all device manufacturers are required to make replacement parts available to owners of their products, but only if it can be done safe and can be done at the home. So when you do that, this is for basically, basically appliances. So they started the direction. It's happening in Europe as well. The question I have, and something that's going to have to be worked out, is it sounds all well and good to say you want to fix something. But if you're monkeying around in your iPhone or your Samsung phone or your HP computer, and you don't know what you're doing, you could possibly electrocute yourself because there are capacitors in there and things, or B, you could damage the device, and does the manufacturer have the right to null and void the warranty if you're poking around and doing something on your own as opposed to maybe taking it to an independent repair shop? I don't know, but I think that's an issue that has to be addressed, because I think the manufacturers, while they certainly have fought this tooth and nail, they don't want people to fix their own devices. They say things like, if we didn't have an authorized repair person to fix it, it could be a security risk and they could steal all your information. Well, I'm not buying that at all. If I want to go to iFixit PC down the street as opposed to the Apple store and pay less, I should have the right. But I also wonder about if it could be limited if you, the consumer, fix it on your own and you don't have a clue as to what you're doing and you break the device. Why should the manufacturer be, why should the warranty stay in effect at that point in time? I think that's one issue that may have to be worked out.
Well, it sounds sort of logical to me, quite frankly. I mean, if you break it, you know, what did my parents always say? We went into the, hey,
break it, you buy it.
If you break it, you buy it. I mean, yes, there are warranties, but if you take it upon yourself to try to rip apart something and you make it inoperable, that's your fault. That's not the fault of the manufacturer. But yet, on the other hand...
But that's an issue. That's an issue.
Yeah.
It'll be addressed.
But then, on the other hand...
I don't know if you remember so many... Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It wasn't so many years ago that auto manufacturers... made it very, very difficult for independent repair shops to fix your cars.
Yes.
And basically, if you wanted to go and have your car fixed, you basically, unless you found a really good local shop that knew what they were doing, had to go to the dealer, which tend to charge more than an independent repair shop. And the car dealers were basically forced, because of a law that took effect in Massachusetts, they decided to honor it across the country, that basically said, okay, we're going to give the right tools and software and instruction manuals. They would hold the instruction manuals back and the specialized equipment from the independent repair shops so they couldn't fix your vehicle if they wanted to. And Massachusetts said, nope, that's not fair competition. They changed the law there, and then the manufacturers just said, we'll put this in place all across the country. But it wasn't so long ago we had that right to repair issue with cars. And, imagine if you had a washing machine and you couldn't have any repair company fix it when it broke. You'd have to have only the Maytag repairman. I mean, you know, we just assume, well, I could have Johnny Joe, if it's a good repair shop in my town, you know, come and fix my appliance if he knows what he's doing, if I want to have them do that. Now we're talking about devices that cost more than washing machines and dryers. You know, they cost $1,000, $1,200, $1,500 for some of these devices. Computers, it's even more, and we're being told we can only get them repaired by a certain sector of the economy. A lot of people just don't think that's right. I think this is something that time has finally arrived. I don't know how to work out. I don't know what the commission's going to do. And some states are already tackling it. I checked your state. As far as I can tell, Illinois does not have a right to repair law. One was brought up in the legislature, never got out of it. But there is one that's in the hopper right now to deal with farm equipment, which obviously is a big issue for your farmers in the state.
Right, right.
People think about, you know, you're talking technology. There's a lot of problems with farm equipment that they're locked into the John Deere or the whatever the manufacturer is to fix their farm equipment. Costs them a lot of money. And they say, no, we want to be able to fix it ourselves, or have somebody fix it for us. So your legislature, I don't know if it's going to make it anywhere, but they're bringing up a bill right now to talk about that kind of thing for farm equipment.
Well, it must have been because the tractors and farm equipment made by John Deere and other manufacturers became somehow more complicated, because my grandfather was a farmer and he could take that friggin' tractor apart and put it back together again. And the idea of, you know, taking it to somebody else would be like, are you crazy? Why would I do that? Just give me some more chewing tobacco and a wrench and I'll have this thing running in an hour and a half. I mean...
Yeah, but I don't think your grandfather's tractor had GPS in it or whatever.
No, exactly. That's my whole point. Right. You know, and a cab with air conditioning and all this other stuff that is like standard operating procedure now on farm equipment. Yep. I mean, it's quite advanced. Yep. It's not, We want to get Max Armstrong and see what he has to say about it. We're going to do some more here with the man, Herb Weisbaum, from checkbook.org, and talk about this issue and a couple of others that have come forth today, and talking about child tax credits, fraudulent scammers, and things of that nature when we come back on 720 WGN. Herb Weisbaum from checkbook.org is with us, and we were talking about the fix it, the FTC to create new rules to prevent companies from limiting customers the ability to fix their own stuff. But I want to touch on this thing with MoneyGram, because sure, this is really something. I mean, I heard about, I've never used MoneyGram, but I certainly heard about them.
You could have dug back in the archives and got the Five Americans and Western Union. Company, though. I was a jock. I was a boss jock.
Where were you a boss?
I was at in Syracuse, New York, when I was in college. I was Herb Elliott slamming the tunes in your ear from the twin turntables of sound that go round and round, 5,000 watts and sounded like a million. WOLF Syracuse, 1490, the big 15.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Thank you. You don't forget that stuff. It's like riding a bike. Anyway, I felt okay legally saying Western Union because they've had a lot of problems with this as well. But this story deals with MoneyGram. Bad guys like to get money quickly and anonymously. That's why they like two payment methods. One is gift cards, and the other is getting money wired to them. And they can get it anywhere in the world anonymously, and they use both Western Union and MoneyGram. The companies agreed to make it harder years and years ago. They promised the Fed they would make it harder for this to happen and warn consumers. Well, it turns out, according to the FTC, that MoneyGram promised to do that and didn't do it. So with a settlement that took place in 2018, MoneyGram agreed to return $125 million to victims all across the country who wired con artist money between 2013 and 2017. So about 300,000 people already got claim forms in the mail because they complained. But now anybody, and there's probably gazillions more that had something that had this happen to them, can file a complaint online between now and August the 31st. And I have to point out, this is a local story, John, because the Federal Trade Commission office in the Chicago land area, they were the ones who brought this case and prosecuted this and brought this thing to fruition. So, but it's good. It's good for the entire country. So if you think you paid a bad guy some kind of money using MoneyGram service between those years in question, between 2013 and 2017, you need to go online and you need to file a claim, and then this money is going to be given out. To be eligible, you have to be have been living in the United States at the time that you did the transfer, mm-hmm. and you are required to provide your Social Security number on the claim form, because believe it or not, the U.S. Treasury Department wants to find out if you owe the government any money for anything that you back taxes or whatever, and then it needs your Social Security number to do that. So once they that's the way it works. Once they know that they don't have to debt collect from you, you can get them to get the file the claim. It's a company called Gilardian Companies handling this. They have a website, MoneyGramRemission.com. You don't have to remember it. The story is on the homepage of my website, consumerman.com, with a big MoneyGram logo, and you can go right there. You can find out more about this if you're eligible, how to file a claim. But the takeaway message, John, for everybody, despite vigilance that may be taking place by these wire transfer companies, is you just don't wire money to somebody you don't know. Somebody calls you on the phone, I don't care what they tell you, I'm with Social Security, I'm with Medicare, I'm with the FBI, I'm with the IRS, I'm with the Chicago Police Department, whatever it is, if they are telling you to wire them money, you are talking to a con artist, you hang up the phone and have nothing to do with them. That's not the way it works. And if they're asking you for gift cards, that other popular method I was telling you about, no government agency is going to call you out of the blue, let alone tell you that you have to go out and buy Sephora or iTunes or Amazon gift cards and pay them, give them the numbers off the back so you can pay an old tax bill or a utility bill or a law enforcement fine or whatever. The IRS I always told this to victims, I never blame the victim, but I said, were you not thinking at the time, the IRS doesn't take Sephora gift cards? I mean, you know, and it was like, it didn't hit me until after I hung up the phone and realized the bad guy had me so wound up in knots, I was afraid I was going to go to jail. Of course they don't take Sephora gift cards, but you have to stop and realize that they will never call you and they will never ask you to get gift cards and give them a number. Period. End of story. It's a con artist. Hang up.
So MoneyGram refunds $125 million to scam victims. To me, that doesn't sound like enough. I mean, they participated in a fraud. I mean, they allowed people to use them to participate in the fraud, but still, they knew that this kind of activity was going on using their service, and they did nothing about it. I mean, $125 million, okay. But there should be some sort of, it seems to me, some sort of legal avenue to take against them, because you're taking money out of, you're taking people's money.
Well, in the world of settlements with the Federal Trade Commission, this is a pretty darn big settlement. And the FTC doesn't do criminal charges. They do civil cases. They get money back for people.
Right.
So, you know, if some prosecutor wanted to do something in the Department of Justice, that's, who knows? This is what the FTC does. And in their world, this is a pretty darn big settlement. And I sure hope anybody who thinks they were victimized applies, because I'd love to see them use all this money. It needs to go back to the people who were burned.
We're talking to Herb, the consumer man, Weissbaum, contributing editor at checkbook.org. And I understand he has an offer. Is this correct?
Yeah, this is free. That's really it's free. That's really legit. checkbook rates services all across the country in seven cities. And Chicagoland, your area, is one of the ones where we publish and rate services. It's like, I say it's like a local Consumer Reports. Consumer Reports looks at building materials and roofing materials and paint, and we look at painters and roofers and contractors and kennels and veterinarians and orthodontists and all, and nurseries and all the services. And actual people in your area rate the companies in your area, and then we have undercover mystery shoppers who go out and shop and price shop and the whole thing. We'd like to offer free subscriptions to a term I just built, Landecker listeners. You like that one?
Yes.
And so so if you're a Landecker listener and you'd like to get a free subscription, get a free issue here, just go to this this web address that we set up for you, www.checkbook.org/WGN Radio/free. So checkbook.org/WGN Radio/free, and you can sign up and get the free copies of the issue. A new issue is coming out in a couple of weeks, and it will have rates on all kinds of different things that are pretty. I find that they're in the Seattle area where I live, and I just find it invaluable to,
well,
before
that,
I do something, I look up and get a rating for somebody.
All right. Thank you so much. That's Herb from Herb the Consumer Man Weissbaum. So if you want to take the advantage, please do. The news is coming up next from the WGN Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.